Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I have about 350 scripture verses to give you. So I am not going to elaborate very long on any of them, because I believe when I give you the point, I read the scripture is going to say everything that it needs to say. And I got some of this stuff, information through devotions and reading books on prayer and things like that. That's what we are going to talk about this morning, is prayer. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31 with me. And the Bible says this, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." And that's going to be the subject that we're going to see and learn and get from God's word this morning, is prayer. Just simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for this church and, God, the testimony of it. And, God, as they get ready to celebrate 50 years of reaching people in this area for Christ. And, God, I thank you for what it stands for. I thank you for their pastor. God, I pray that you would continue to be with him and, God, meet their needs. And, God, I pray that you would give him a special touch, heal his body, God. I pray that, Lord, that you would just restore him there, God. I pray that you would be with the people of this church and, God, be with us this hour. God, I pray that you clear out my heart, my mind, and, God, anything that would be of me. And, God, that you would use me this morning as a vessel that would be overflowed with you. God, these people came to hear from heaven, and, God, I pray that that's exactly what they would hear from. And, God, I pray that we would take these things that we're seeing in the Bible this morning, God, and we're applying them in our lives, that, God, we could live and live our lives in a way that we could give you praise, honor, and glory. And, God, we'll be sure to give you the glory that you deserve. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Prayer is taking our human needs to our Heavenly Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our intercessor and advocate, with the gracious help of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. When we pray to God, it is us communicating and fellowshipping back with God, but it's us allowing the Holy Spirit to intercess for us through Jesus Christ to the throne of grace. The very God that spoke everything into existence, we have access to the throne of grace. I mean, that alone should be enough to create and cause us to be in awe there alone. I got saved at 32 and a half years old, and I grew up Roman Catholic. So when you're Roman Catholic, you say Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And you never understand what you're doing. You're just taught to say a prayer. But after I got saved and I begin to be around Christians and hear their prayers and learn their prayers, you begin to understand that God has, when he said it is finished, and that temple, that curtain was ripped from the top to bottom, that was to give us that access to the throne of grace. The priest no longer had to go to make intercession for us, but we were able now to go boldly to the throne of grace of God. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to do that, to have that access to the God that created and spoke everything into existence, wants to even hear from us. What a wonderful thought that is, to even think about that. But as I read in this portion of scripture, the Bible says that, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." And this is all finishing up from, we could go back into chapter 3, and it was when Peter and John were going into the temple, and the man that was lame from his mother's womb was there to beg for alms. And Peter and John say, "Silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give unto thee. Rise in the name of Jesus Christ." And the man, for the first time in his life, stood to his feet. What a wonderful miracle that is. That's a whole nother message all on its own that I preach out of that. But we understand that then there was obviously, anytime you're doing something for the Lord, somebody's going to criticize it. And we understand that there was turmoil, and Peter and John were arrested, And the Bible says in verse in chapter 4 that they knew that these were ignorant and unlearned men, but they knew they had been with Jesus by their boldness. They could, and let me help you, folks. If you spend time with Jesus, you will have a different kind of boldness. You will have a Holy Spirit-led kind of Christian boldness that you will not be ashamed of what you believed in, and you will not be ashamed to share scripture or experiences or testimonies with others. And that's the boldness that it is. And then as we go down, they leave these men go, and they send them off because they knew that there would these Pharisees would know that these the multitude of people had seen what God had done, and that they would be frowned down upon. So they release Peter and John, and Peter and John go back to give an account that was going on. And that we have to understand that right at this given time, the church was under persecution. The church was going through trials and tribulations. They many times had to meet in secret because of what was going on. And it says here that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. I don't know about you, Brother Morris, but we need that kind of prayer today in our homes. We need that kind of prayer today in our churches. We need that kind of prayer today in our communities. And we definitely need that kind of prayer today in our government. We need that kind of prayer. We need the kind of prayer where God moves into services and we just don't meet anymore, but we allow God to meet with us. That we allow, do you understand that every great revival that has ever taken place through this great King James Bible, anytime it has been preached, it was bathed with prayer before it ever took place. Every great message that you've ever heard preached was bathed in prayer before it was preached. Every great thing that was done was bathed in prayer before it was done. Do you understand? We pray, but I believe that anymore we pray in a way that we don't understand what we are actually doing. We are not begging God for Him to do something. We don't understand that as we go to God, God wants to bless us. God wants to fill us with His power. God wants to use us in a mighty way. And so many times I believe we just cast some prayers out, and that we do not take serious the time that we have to spend with God. But I want to give you three simple points this morning that I believe that can help us to have a prayer that shakes the place that we are assembled. And these are just simple, basic Bible principles right out of the Bible. But number one, I think one of the things that we struggle with is the way that we preach or how we preach. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Number one, I believe that the Lord teaches us how we ought to pray. And I'm going to go very quickly. So we're not going to turn to these scriptures. If you want to turn to them later, that's great. Just jot down the scripture verse and I'm going to keep moving. So don't turn. If you turn, you're going to miss the next point. I'm going to go very quickly. I don't have a lot of time and I have a lot to share with you. But number one, we should pray in His name. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you understand? God here says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you understand? These are promises of God. What a wonderful thing that God says, if you ask it in my name, I'm going to do it. Obviously, it has to be according to His will, and we're touched on that. But secondly, we should pray in faith, believing. So many times, do we just pray? Do we just say a prayer because we feel obligated? But do we actually believe that what we are praying for, God is able to do it, or God will do it, that God wants to do it? It says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Do you understand? When God says ye shall, that is a promise of God. He is confirming those things. And God cannot lie. God has not changed. God is the same God. The same God that Peter and John had here in this portion of scripture. And the disciples as they met in that place. And they prayed and the place was shaken. It's the same God that hears our prayers today. What a wonderful thing that is. We should pray in sincerity. Pray in sincerity. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We should pray from the heart. And to me, that sincere prayer is a prayer from the heart. And in verse Matthew 6:6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Number next, we should pray with a forgiving spirit. I believe that an unforgiving spirit is the biggest hindrance that we have to our Christian. An unforgiving spirit, I believe, and unforgiveness is one of the greatest hindrances to our churches today. I believe that is one of the greatest hindrances that we have. We want God to forgive us, but we don't want to forgive brother so-and-so for what he has done to us. Get over it, folks. Amen. That what takes place here on earth will never matter for eternity unless it is meant for the cause of Christ. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand that we're all different? And I don't want to rabbit trail too much on this, but I just want to spend a little time on it. But do you understand that our unforgiving spirit not only hinders our prayers, but it will also hinder our walk with God. It will hinder our influence with God. Why? Because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, if somebody said something bad about you, get over it. Don't you remember when you were a kid? You were taught sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Come on, get over it.
Yes, sir.
We'll be all right. Have a little thicker skin than that. If you're ever going to accomplish anything for God, you're going to have to die to public opinion.
That's right.
Period. Just forget it. There's going to be the critics. There was critics of the Bible. There was critics of Jesus. There's going to be critics. Let them be critics. Just keep going. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. But we should pray with the forgiving spirit. Mark 11:25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Very simple. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. Very simple. We should be persistent in our prayer. You know, I believe that when something means something to us, we will pray it over and over and over and over and over and over. And we will pray it over and over and over and over till we see God do something with that. Till we get a confirmation in prayer. My next door neighbor, I tried to lead him to Christ for the last year and a half. I was able to give him the gospel two times. Do you understand? I spent more time with this man trying to influence him for the cause of Christ than I did my own family. He passed away about a week ago. Don't know if he ever made a profession of faith any time in his life. He did not give me that clear testimony when I talked to him about it. But it didn't stop me, Brother Brian, from praying every single day for this man. After I gave him the gospel the second time, and his answer to me was, I prayed to the man upstairs. I got frustrated. I'm just going to be honest with you, Brother Nathan. I got frustrated. I was like, well, you know what? His blood's not on my hands anymore. I'm just being transparent with you this morning. But you know what God said to me? God spoke to my heart and said, you didn't get saved the third time. We need to be persistent in our prayer. We need to not lift things up. Things that are so dear to us, you make sure you continue. I remember right after I got saved, my mom still has health problems, but she had a ton of health problems then. And I every day I prayed and I prayed, God, please heal her. Please do this. Please do that. And I was counseling with a man and I was getting frustrated because I was not seeing God answer that prayer. But God had a purpose for that time. And this man made this statement to me. He said, maybe God is answering your prayers, and that's why she's still alive. Sometimes God may just not answer the things the way we want to, but that shouldn't stop us from being persistent. Luke chapter 11, verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. We need to be persistent. We need to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We should pray according to God's will. In Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand? It's not as difficult to pray God's will when we are in God's will. It's not when we have surrendered our life to Christ and said, God, here's my life. Whatever you can do with it, take and do it. It's not as difficult to pray God's will, because you understand that as we learn the stories of the Bible and we see how people that walked in God's will, how God's hand was totally on them. I don't know about you, Brother Morris, but I want to know if something comes into our life, some trial, some affliction. I want to know, number one, God hears my prayers. Number two, I want to know that God wants and he is in control of every step of my life. That if he has allowed it to come into my life, he also is going to see me through that trial. And when I come out on the other side, it's for good, right? That's the promise of God. Sometimes we just need to get to this place where we surrender our will to his will so we can have a more fervent prayer life. I'll give you a prime example of that. Right now, my neighbor that just passed away owns some land, and across from the street from my house, there's 26 and a half acres that used to be a part of my 13 and a half acres. That it was a 40 acre block, got subdivided, and the people that bought the 13 and a half built a house on it, which we now are living in. And the 26 and a half acres across the street from our house would be a location for the future location for the outdoorsman camp. And this location, I mean, God has just laid out a vision for that, for the camp there. But you also got to understand, I live in Commie land.
Right.
That's it. Or you could say of Pritzker. We got rid of one, Lori Lightfoot, praise God. But that is so deep. It's going to take a big shovel. So the point I'm getting at is God's given me a vision for the camp, and it's more than just outdoorsman camp. It's Nehemiah Builders Camp. Listen, we got a lot of young men today that are afraid to touch a hammer. They're afraid to get dirty. They're afraid to build something. Do you understand? God created men to build and conquer. We want to accomplish something. We want to conquer it and then move on to the next thing to conquer. But today, this day and era, man, we got a bunch of sissified men. They want to build houses on joysticks with their thumbs. Well, it don't work that way. You say, would you want to create a bunch of people to build things? Well, I'll tell you what, we're running out of them. Pick up the phone and call a contractor. See how long it takes you to get them, if he's any good. If he don't have work, he's not any good. I'll just tell you that right now. Or he's very new to the area. But it would be good to have some young men that know how to do things around the church. It'd be good to have some young men that God calls into ministry to know how to unplug a toilet. So they don't have to call a janitor in to do it, you know? I mean, some of these, our youth pastor just went to Abilene, Texas. And it was great. Right before he went, him and I were working at the church, and he was not a builder guy. He wasn't. But he felt God was leading him to church. He may have to be bivocational. And I just looked at him and I said, preacher, I said, do you understand God is training you for that ministry right now? If you go to a bivocational church, it probably will not have the money to redo the platform. It will probably not have money to redo the bathrooms or to put floor coverings down or to do this or that. God's training you right now to do that so you can do it when you get to that church. But God has laid it out to do all these things. I'd like to do something for young ladies. Young ladies are taught to be career ladies and not to be home makers and keeping the home and taking care of the children, and are not being taught to sew and to cook and to do all those things. And I'd love to do something a week for the young ladies. I'd love to be able to do a family camp. I'd love to be able to do a preacher's fellowship. And this piece of property just lays out. The water's there, electric's there, all that's there. But I started, Brother Nathan, getting a little bit stressed out about it because I don't have that kind of money to purchase a piece of land like that, Brother Brown. I don't. But I do know who has the money to do that. But this has been my prayer. No, God, please give me that. God, please give me that. You know that work. That's not my prayer. My prayer is, God, if that is your will for the camp to be there, it's in your hands. You make it happen. You find a way. You take care of that. Because if it's not his will, I don't want it there. I don't want it there. Because, you know, who knows? Things keep going the way they are. In 2 years, we might not even be allowed to shoot guns over there. Legally. Legally. We should pray in faith, James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Do you understand that faith is not making a godly decision? That's obedience. I'll give you a prime example. Missions conference. God speaks to your heart about a number. It's obedience to follow up with that number, but it takes faith to keep giving that number. Faith is living out godly decisions. Faith is giving when you can't see where it's going to come from. Faith is when I believe God is going to do something, not wavering from that path and just continuing to do what is right all the time. We need to pray for more soul winners. Matthew 9:38. Lord, do we need more people to reach people for Christ? Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. I said, one, we need to pray for, we need God to teach us to pray. Number two, What is prayer to the child of God? What is prayer to the child of God? It's coming boldly to the throne of grace. I already touched on that. Hebrews 4:14, I'll give you a scripture for it though. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we can go to the throne of grace. Number two, calling upon the Lord. Prayer to the child of God is calling upon the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. So many times we fall so short of prayer from God actually showing us his might, God showing us his blessing. So many times, it's just like the thing I was saying about with the camp, you know, if God closes that door, it's because he has a better door for you. Yep. We don't really have any young unmarried people in here, right? But if God closes, that's number one. That's why it's not good to let your young people date. Right. I always say this. You old enough to get married? Nope. Don't date. What's your purpose? What's the purpose of young people dating?
Right.
Or courting, however you want to put it. Some people don't like dating, courting. But if the purpose behind it is not to get married, don't let them date. They're just going to give their heart to somebody that possibly they're not going to get married to.
Right.
Let alone if you let them court for years upon years upon years, it's a little harder to keep your purity that way. Number three, crying out to God. I don't know. Somebody in here must need to hear that, Brother Nathan. So. Crying out to God, Psalms 27:7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." You understand in these verses we're hearing people are, they're crying out to God, they're praying to God, they're lifting their voice to God, because this is what prayer is to the child of God. It's pouring out our heart to God. How many of you ever been to a place where you're on your knees and you're just pouring your heart out to God? You're just pouring your, because you were in a time of need. Psalm 62:8, "Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah." It's worship and adoration. Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." You know what? When I taught my children and I spent time with them and I was teaching them to pray, I taught them to give thanks to God first. I taught them to thank God for everything. And my little girl, my oldest girl, I still call her my baby girl, but she went to a whole nother place with this. My wife came to me one night after she prayed with her before bed, and she goes, "I love what you did, but it's like 10 minutes of thanks." You know what I told her, Brother Morris? I said, "You got your whole life to cast burdens upon God. Learn now to give them thanks. Because you don't have the burdens and the cares and the concerns now that you're going to have when you get older. Give them thanks now. If you teach them to give thanks and praise for all the good things." I mean, brother, she was thanking them for like doll babies. And I mean, her cat. I mean, that's super spiritual there. But all kidding aside, you know, I believe one of the biggest hindrances to our prayer lives, we don't thank God for what he has already done. We just take for granted what he does on every given day that he blesses us with. Let's learn to worship. It's intercession. It's intercession. James 5:14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." It's casting our cares upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." It's seeking the face of God. It's seeking his will. It's seeking what he has for our life. In Psalm 27:8, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." It would be so good for us just to seek God's will and his direction in our life each and every day. It's supplication and intercession for others. Ephesians 6:18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching there too with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." It's fellowship. It's fellowship. 1 John 1:7, "But if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You know, the God created man back in the garden. When God created Adam, he created him for what? Fellowship. And the Bible says in the cool of the day, he would walk with him and talk with him. And the wonderful thing about it, though, God created us to have sweet fellowship with him. But because man sinned in the garden, it broke that fellowship. And the Bible says in John 3:16, "But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Do you understand why he gave his son? Why Jesus Christ had to go to the cross of Calvary? So we could have fellowship with him. Jesus Christ, when you ask him to forgive you of your sins, that relationship and that fellowship is restored to Christ. What a wonderful thing that God wants to hear from us. Right. That He wants to hear from us. Folks, that's how God hears from us, is through prayer. That's how we fellowship with God. Brother Nathan, if you never spend time and you never talk to your wife, she might not think you really care about her much, huh?
Amen.
Right? That's why it's important to go places with her.
Right?
Right? Just trying to help you out, Lauren. He doesn't get that opportunity, Brother Brian, you know, shoot back, you know, so it's good here. So, but, you know, this is how God speaks to us. Now, I know, ladies, there's a lot of you in here. I know there's a lot of you in here. Say, I talk to my husband all the time. He doesn't hear me. We do. We listen to everything you say. We hear what we want. But so often, I think that mentality is how our fellowship is with God. We hear the preaching of the Word of God. We hear God's voice when we read the Bible, but we hear what we want. So many times that fellowship's that way. But how often do we take time? You know, I don't know about you, but I know there's times I come home from work and my wife wants to share with me all these things that have happened today. She wants to fellowship with me. There's times I want to come home. There's times I pick up the phone during the day and I call my wife and I want to tell her things that are going on. Why is that? Because I love her. Because I want to have fellowship with her. And ladies, you know, because we don't listen to everything doesn't mean that we don't love you. You have no idea what's going on in our minds. And many times, I think it's just a fact that when you want to talk to us, it's just not a real good time for us. Oh, amen. That's not scriptural. I can't back that one up, so I'm sorry, guys. I got a couple minutes. I got to hurry. I'll move on that one. So, and I already touched on this. Hindrances to our prayer, and this is by R.A. Torrey. We pray with selfish purposes. James chapter 4, verse 3. Ye ask, and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Prime example, I just gave that to you on the prayer about the property. I didn't want to consume it for my desires and my wishes and my wants of the camp and what the, you know, then it would be the vision that God's given me for the camp and blah, blah. No, I want it to be if that's what He wants. And that's how we need to ask. And we need to make sure that if God says no, we're willing to accept it. Iniquities are hindrance to our prayer. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear you. Idols in our heart. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and have put the stumbling blocks of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? These can be friends, pleasures, habits, hobbies, sports, possessions, you name it. You just think about it. Anything that comes before God, many times. When we start to miss church and we start to become unfaithful because of pleasures, habits, friends, things like that. I mean, we're heading into spring, we're heading into summer, and we've all been cooped up. We all got cabin fever. We got all these things. But you know what? If we're not careful, family reunions will keep us out of church.
Right. Amen.
Birthday parties will keep us out of church. Ball on Sunday will keep us out of church. These things should not keep us out of church. Okay? My family learned very early on that I was not going to go to things on Sunday that were going to hinder me going to church. I don't know about you, Brother Brian, but I know what God saved me from. And if God was that long-suffering and that merciful to save an old wretched person like me, He had a purpose for my life. And I did not want to miss church and miss what God had for my life, let alone, I think we just need to be faithful. And if you want to argue about that, just read Hebrews 10:25 and then come back and then we'll have that conversation. But I don't think you can get away from faithfulness to church. Ignoring the needs of others. Proverbs 21:13. I only have a couple minutes. 21:13. Whosoever stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. You know what? That, give you a prime example of this. This necessarily is not discussing somebody that just has a financial need. But how about the cries? The lost people may not necessarily be crying out, but they are poor and they are wretched and they need what we have. Just like back in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John said, gold and silver have we none, but rise in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. That what we have, there's people out there that are poor and they are needy for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to be mindful of that. Not forgiving of others. I've already said that. I'm not going to go through it again. That's Mark 11:25-26. We need to forgive others. Strained relationships between husbands and wife. Imagine that. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, I heard a preacher say this one time, that him and his wife made the agreement when they got married, they would never go to bed mad at one another. They've stayed up for 3 days straight, but they never went to bed mad at one another. I believe that was quote unquote Tony Hudson. And that could be very true with Brother Tony. Unbelief. Hindrances to our prayer. Unbelief. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I have a bunch of others. Not abiding in Christ. That's John 15:7. I need to close. And lastly, not abiding in truth. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto them. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, for all that call upon him in truth. God's hand's not shortened. God wants to hear our prayers. God has given us the formula for him to hear our prayers. He's given us the importance of prayer. What prayer is, you know, do you understand? You can pray. I'll give you another prime example. My neighbor, I pray to the man upstairs, pray to the man upstairs, pray to the man upstairs. Well, you know what? You can pray to the man upstairs, but if you're not saved, those prayers are just hitting the ceiling. It's that restored fellowship that now, as we come to Christ in faith, believing that what he did on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we place our faith and trust in what he did, and we are gloriously saved for eternity, it restores the fellowship with the Father. But if we're not careful and we don't keep that walk and we don't keep a clean testimony, and we allow sin into our life, we allow unforgiveness into our life, we allow strife with our spouse in our life, those things can be hindered from the God. Listen, folks, there's people out there that need your prayers. There's a lost and dying world. You have a lost and dying community around here that needs your prayers. Listen, many times you get people in your community and around your area, or maybe neighbors, and they're lost and they can be very difficult, and there can be a struggle there. And if you're not careful, you allow those things, your differences, to cause strife. But ultimately, that is a soul that will spend eternity in heaven and hell. And we need to keep ourselves unspotted. And we need to keep ourselves that when people see, just like in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Think about that. If somebody comes to you, Brother Brian, and they say, I want what you have, that's because they see something different. They see a difference in the way you conduct yourself. They see a difference in the way that you carry yourself. They see a difference in you, and it makes them curious, and it makes them desire to have something of stability that you have. And you know what? We stand on a solid rock. We stand on him. The wonderful thing about it is we have access to the throne of grace. We have access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. We have access to that God. What a wonderful thing. But you know what? Your church, your pastor, your community, our country needs us as Christians to have a prayer life that will shake the place that we're assembled in. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this time. God, I thank you for the promises of the Bible. And God, I'm so thankful, God, for hearing our prayers. God, I thank you, Lord, for being a prayer answering God. Lord, I'm thankful for the day that I prayed and asked you to save me, God. And you reached down there into the miry pit. God, you pulled me up and established my ways and set my feet upon a rock. And God, I'm so thankful for that. God, I pray that we as Christians, as your people, as children of God, Lord, I pray that we would not take it lightly, the access that you have given us, that we will boldly come to the throne of grace. God, I pray that we would be people that would desire to reach the communities and the lost people that are out there. God, the only way we could make a difference in this country, God, is not by who we vote for, but God, that we would pray to have the boldness on our life and the Holy Spirit's power, God, that we would be able to set forth an example, God, that people would desire to hear, to have what we, God, have so gracefully and mercifully received from you. God, I pray that you'd help us now as we go into the morning service. God, I pray that you would bless and meet with us. God, if there be anybody here today that's not saved, God, I pray, Lord, just prepare their heart right now for what you have for them in the Sunday morning hour, God, that they might get saved, gloriously saved here today. In Jesus' name.